Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. This is the part of the show right here where a lot of times James will play some audio of a great moment in the Phillies game from the prior night. You know, if the Phillies won the game. Well, they didn't win the game, so we'll spare you a bad moment audio. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park. You can make a day of it at Delaware Park. Enjoy daily fee golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, do you expect Aaron Nola to turn it around this season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Certainly weighing on the phone lines on the Phils and the Sixers and everything else going on. All right, speaking of the Phils, let's talk to our first guest of the day. Does a tremendous job calling Phillies games on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Also studio analyst, pre- and post-game show, and friend of the show. Always happy to have Mr. Ben Davis back with us. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're able to fit me in. I was just on my way to the hairdresser, so.
Well, Ben,
Joe's getting frosted tips,
well,
Ben.
Hold on.
I know. It's just say stylist or the person who cuts my hair.
That is the line right
but
there.
But, Ben, isn't even hairstylist a little, you know, absurd? I mean, I don't have style.
It's less absurd than hairdresser.
A hairdresser. I don't know.
You're one in a million, Joe.
Thank you, Ben.
One in a million.
I take that as a compliment. I appreciate that. All right, Ben, let's get to it here. A lot of ways to go with the Phillies. Let me start with this. John brought up an interesting question about 20 minutes ago, and let's throw the same concept to you. How much realistically can Joe Girardi do about the Phillies defense? I mean, is there, hey, guys, let's get out on the field and do an hour or two of practice, and that's really going to make a noticeable difference? Can assistant coaches work with individual players? Do you have that much time when you're traveling and playing games constantly? And then there's the whole let's throw over the buffet table and just freak everyone out and act all mad and get their attention. Like, what realistically can a manager and the coaches do?
I mean, they can teach technique. They can teach form. But the bottom line is when that ball's hit to you in the game, it has to be something inherent in you that just tells you what to do. Mm-hmm. Baseball instincts. Where am I going with this baseball? If it's hit to my left, hit to my right, what am I doing with it? I think that's the inherent part that I think is lacking a little bit right now out of the Phillies defense. It's definitely not a lack of preparation. These guys work their tails off, but it's just a matter of their baseball instinct and making plays. I mean, it's just, you can lead a horse to water, but I mean, you just can't make them drink all the time. And that's, I think, where they're at right now. They can have a little bit of effect on them, but down deep, it's got to be in the player.
So with Aaron Nola, he's obviously nowhere close to where we had hoped he'd be this year. How does a pitcher improve his command, especially like when we've seen him have better command of that fastball in previous seasons? Like, what happened that he lost that, and how does he get it back, Ben?
You know, that's a great point, John, and that's what I'm seeing out of him right now is the fastball command. It's just not there. I think right now Aaron is more willing to miss bats than pitch the contact. Like, he doesn't mm-hmm. trust this stuff because he knows he's not, you know, he can't hit it a gnat's butt from 60 feet, 6 inches away. I think that's something that he's got to really trust more, his fastball command, and pitch the contact. Get it, you know. There were so many 0-2 counts last night, it was alarming. I'm like, this is great, he's working ahead, but he wasn't able to put guys away. Yes, he had 7 strikeouts, he'd go along with the 2 walks. But it doesn't seem like he has that same moxie out on the mound. Like, I trust my stuff, I'm Aaron Nola, you're going down. It just doesn't seem like he has that confidence out on the mound right now. I'd love to see him just get back to that fastball command where he trusts it and not try and miss so many bats. Especially he gets traffic on the bases, he goes to a lot of off-speed pitches, and I think that's something that's very predictable about him right now. So I think if he can get back to that better fastball command and trust him, say, you know what, like the last night, the first inning, Ozzie Albies. I know Ozzie Albies has been real hot, but he gets two quick outs. He gets 3-1 count on Ozzie Albies. Throws a 3-1 curveball. And that, to me, tells me he does not trust his fastball, because I'll throw him the fastball down and away. If he hit a single the other way, so be it. But I'm not going to walk you on a 3-1 curveball, which he did. And then next you know, Riley hits a double, and Albies scores. It's 1-0 Braves. That's the kind of stuff that I don't like to see. That means he's not trusting that heater.
Is his velocity where it needs to be?
Yeah, I mean, he was 94, 95 last night in the first couple of innings. It started to taper off a little bit more. I mean, he was sitting probably about 93, which is good for him. And, again, it's not all about velocity. I had it out with my son the other day. They had a couple games, and he was starting pitching the second game. And the first team that they played, the kid was chucking it pretty good. And we go into the second game, and he goes, Dad, do you think I throw as hard as that first kid? I said, dude, I don't care. I said, I want you to just locate. You're so concerned about velocity, I don't care how hard you throw. Locate, dominate with your fastball. Stay in the zone. Be competitive in the strike zone. You know, the velocity is not everything. And guys that can pitch, and Aaron Nola is a pitcher, and that's why I think ultimately he's going to be okay. He's not just a thrower. He's a pitcher. I think we'll get back to that. But I think we're so caught up on velocity right now. And it's like, oh, this guy throws 98. Let's bring him up. He has no idea where it's going, but he throws hard. So, you know, that number on the screen, 98 to 100, that looks sexy. Let's bring him up.
Well, Ben, let's take that concept and flip it over to the Phillies hitters, the idea of applying some flawed thinking, let's say, to how they hit and how they develop in the minors and the whole deal. Do you think analytics and that which is hitting analytic philosophies is a negative or a major negative for this Phillies team?
I think for some guys it definitely is. You know, look what happened with Scott Kingery. I mean, that guy, poor guy, I feel for him. You can't teach everyone the same technique. It just doesn't work for everybody. Guys have different bat speeds. Guys have different, you know, guys hit balls that are in well. Guys hit balls that are away well. You know, you just can't teach everything the same. I think it's – look what they did last night, able to manufacture one. I mean, they had a hit and run, for crying out loud. I haven't seen a hit and run since Reagan was in office. I mean, it was awesome. They Aaron Nola getting a bunt down, a safety squeeze. Not only did he get the runner in, boom, but he advanced Torres to second base. This is awesome to see. I think the analytics part, I mean, these guys are taking a lot of fastballs and good hitters' counts. You know, I think they got so many numbers floating through their mind. Like, it's just, hitting is hard enough. And to hit a round ball with a round bat at 95 miles an hour, it's not easy. But you start to get your brain involved, and that's when everything starts to shut down. And I think, I think it's paralysis by analysis at sometimes, because these guys, they're so inundated with these numbers. I think it's what, it gets them into slumps and things like that. But, yeah, I think the analytics, it's not for everybody. It does help some guys. Like, you've heard me talk before. I'm a big exit velocity guy, and that's one of the numbers. A lot of these other numbers are, you know, they are what they are. But for me, the harder you hit the baseball, the better chance of you getting a hit is. And that's – give me line drives. Line drives produce high exit velocity. Line drives produce a lot of hits.
You talk about getting your brain too involved on the pitching side again. Does it feel to you like Connor Brogdon gets his brain too involved? I'm trying to understand what we have in Connor Brogdon.
Yeah, I think at times that does happen with these guys. I think there's just, you know, they just try and they overthink it. And listen, if you got a guy that's in a 1-2 count, I know from being a hitter, and I'm not a very good one. But I know if I was down 1-2, man, I'm battling. I'm in defense mode back there. It just doesn't seem like these guys have that killer instinct. Like, you're down 1-2, dude, you're done. Or you're walking back to the bench. Or I'm going to put this ball exactly where I want it and jam you or throw you away and you're going to hit a lazy fly ball. I just think, yeah, it's just like he doesn't have that killer mentality right now. And he had it earlier in the year.
Yeah.
He definitely had it early in the year. You look at someone like Mark Burley, who I caught in Chicago. Burley would go into his windup before I even put a sign down. And he would just grab it and throw it. He never once would ever shake a catcher off, because he believed in his stuff. He believed in what he was doing out there. And he said, you know what, I just don't care. I taught Burley, you'd ever shake his. No. He goes, I trust you. He goes, just put it down, I'll throw it. I mean, that's the way he was. He had that amount of confidence in himself, whereas, hey, I'm going to throw it. If you hit it, then so be it. I'm not going to get caught up in it. I'm going to make the best pitch at that moment, and I'm going to have conviction in each pitch. And that's what he did, and he had a great career.
Ben Davis with us here from NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, Ben, let's crystal ball this thing a little bit deeper into the summer. They're about 5 weeks away from the trade deadline starting to kind of be a thing, 6 weeks away from it really starting to come down to the deadline. Better chance, in your opinion, clearly this could go either way, but better chance that the Phillies are a buyer or a seller in 6 weeks?
That's a good. I think you're going to see some teams really make a run here in the next couple of weeks. A lot of these guys are getting a lot of players back. I mean, look at the Mets. They've been struck by the injury bug. It's been awful. I don't know about the Nats and the Marlins, but I think it's going to be a three-horse race between the Mets and the Phillies and the Braves. And I think if you see something develop over the next couple of weeks, I think the Phillies either could be buyers or sellers. I think if it continues the trend that the Phillies are on right now, I think you might see them being sellers.
Yep.
Just because
they're the third horse.
Yeah.
I mean, a three-horse race is nice, but they're the third horse.
Yeah, they're just too consistently inconsistent. And, you know, I think that's the way it is right now. There's too much bad outweighing the good right now. It's like they're finding ways to lose as opposed to finding ways to win. And it's frustrating because you see what could be. You see the Saturday and Sunday games where they go out and put up numbers. You see what they did last night early on in the ball game, and it's like everything looks great. And then all of a sudden they implode with a couple errors in that eighth inning. And, they're too inconsistent right now to really put together any stretch of W's.
Ben, how much should we expect the Phillies' offense to pick up with the crackdown on the sticky foreign substances in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, and all around the sport, how much do you think it'll pick up?
I don't think it'll pick up a whole lot. Pitchers have been cheating for as long as could be. I mean, every pitcher I know doctored the ball in some way, shape, or form.
Wow.
They've been doing it forever. And, I mean, anytime you see a guy grab his wrist, I guarantee you there's rosin and sunscreen on there. I would catch Jose Contreras in Chicago, and I could put the ball up on my bare hand, and it would stick to my hand. He put so much pine tar on the ball for his splitter. It's been going on forever. I don't see this as a big deal, and I know I heard the bit last night from Garrett Cole, and then you guys played it again a few minutes ago.
Yep.
I mean, that is
stunning.
It was kind of comical, to be honest with you. But they've been doing this forever. I mean, these guys have rosin all over their hat. It is what it is. They've been cheating for as long as I can remember. And listen, if you ever want to do something one day, spray a lot of sunscreen on your wrist and then load it up with rosin, let me know how sticky that gets on your wrist.
Wow.
And you'll see. Anytime you see someone grabbing the wrist, I guarantee you there's a substance on that wrist. And you see them messing with their laces on their glove, there's pine tar in it. I guarantee it. I know there is. And it's been like that forever. So we'll see how baseball cracks down on it. We'll see.
How do the pitchers view JT Realmuto for piping up about it? You know, if they're all doing it, if the Phillies pitchers are all using this stuff, and JT was one of the whistleblowers.
Yeah, that's about
about
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. How do they view that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's an internal thing. It's not going to stop the guys from doing it. I know that. Pitchers used to ask me to bounce the ball on the way to second base in between innings so they could scuff it up. That's when guys used to know how to use a scuff. The pitchers would ask me to rub pine tar on my outside of my shin guard. So I would grab the ball and rub it on that pine tar spot on my shin guard and then throw it back to the pitcher.
So hey, they'll figure out a way.
Yeah, they'll figure out a way. It's like I said, it's been going on forever and it's not going to stop.
Ben, always great having you on the program, man. Stay well. We'll catch you. And great seeing you at the Richie Ashburn.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, James and John, I got to tell you, I was two fairways over, and I saw this guy hit this drive the other day. I said, who the heck hit that thing?
Ben!
I mean, it was a bomb. And then all of a sudden, I said, Joe Ray's name. Yo, Ben, what's up? I said, did you hit that? He said, yeah. It was a bomb.
I don't believe you. What did Joe give you? Did he give you, like, cash, straight cash to
my
say
man.
This?
No, hey, honesty is the best policy, James. I'm telling you. If you see a man hit a golf ball like that, you take notice.
Pots and pans, my man.
This is unreal.
Thank you, Ben.
All right,
Ben.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you.
Ben, I'll slip you the 20 next time I say
yeah.
Sounds
thanks,
good.
Something's fishy here.
Oh, man. I only played five or six holes, but I made an impact.
That was absolutely disgusting in advance. Had to have been.
Had to be. He promised him something. I don't know what it was, but he said, Ben, I'll give you this.
Yep.
Tit for tat.
All right, AMA coming up at noon. Get the questions in. Last call from AMA, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways that you can ask good creative questions about sports or otherwise. We'll get to that at noon. Let's go to Gary right now. A lot of reaction on the Sixers as well. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Gary.
Joe, real quick, I never thought I'd talk to you guys about this, but I'll come to your defense.
Yep.
There have been times in my house where I've said something, and then my wife on her phone will get an ad for it, and we never Googled it. So
yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
Yep.
But I'll come to your defense on
Thank
that
you,
prior topic.
Huh.
Quick question. We're the one seed in the East. Do you guys sense that there's like a national trend of disrespect towards this squad? I have thoughts on it, but I just want to see what you think about that.
No, I don't think so. And are you basing that on the TNT crew last night?
Number one, it's clear JoJo's the best player in the NBA. The fact that
he's not. A healthy LeBron James is still the best player. Joel might be the best player left in the playoffs this year, and he might be the second best player in the world. Listen, Durant's really good. Healthy Harden's really good. Steph's really good. Kawhi's really good. I mean, there's kind of a toss-up, in my opinion, there, too.
All right. I mean, the fact that five people didn't even put him on the MVP ballot is disgraceful.
Well, the fact that he only got
one first-place vote.
Yeah, that shocked me. One first-place vote. Yep.
The other thing, too, is I think that I got a sense that there's a little bit of disrespect towards the team, and I know they haven't accomplished what they want to yet, but – like the fact that Shaq was saying last night that JoJo needs to score 45 for us to win. I mean, like, let's face it. If you guys look at game one, we lost game one because of three-point shooting. The Hawks hit 23s. That's like top 20 all time in the history of the NBA in a playoff game. And all we have to do, and Doc said it in the mid-game interview, he didn't seem worried at all. I think if Trey can score 40 points a game and we can still win this series handily, but when Herter and Gallinari come in and go 6-for-6 from three, it shifts the whole game.
Here's the big Gary. Let me
focus on Trey.
Yeah.
It's about 3-point shooting.
Well, there's
like,
a lot
that's
of
what the key to this series is.
There's a lot of that, but let me just address the Shaq thing because I really enjoy Shaq and Charles and Kenny a lot, and I particularly enjoy Shaq having won four titles speaking. And what I think his – like, he talks a little bit with some hyperbole sometimes. Like, does Joel really need to score 40? No, he doesn't really need to. The Sixers can win, and he can score 26. But what Shaq is getting at is for the Sixers to win it all, things like Joel being able to score 40 and doing it is the kind of thing for Shaq that is a sign that they've got a far better chance to do it than they're not ready. Because Shaq remembers when he himself and his teams – weren't ready. He lost like 7 or 8 straight years in the playoffs before he finally won. He knows what it's like to lose, and he knows what it's like to win. And I understand what he's getting at when he goes there.
Yeah, and look, Embiid did it the first two games, and I thought.
Yeah, where Shaq was wrong last night. Shaq said it was pregame. You know, hey, they're probably going to – something like they're going to need Embiid to score more than 27 points per game in the playoffs. The only reason he was only averaging 27 points a game in the playoffs is because he got injured in a game. You know, so, like, if you've only played, like, 6 or 7 games, whatever the heck they play, and you get injured, then that's going to bring down your average. You know, Joel has been averaging in the 30s in the playoffs. He's been absolutely great when he's not, you know, in a game that he gets injured like that. So
I just thought they were missing the greater point. Like, I actually looked this up, but – the Sixers' record when they allow the other team's best player to score more than 30 points is 15-7.
Well, okay.
So you can argue that if Trae Young scores 40 on Friday night, the impact on that, the Hawks winning the game, it doesn't matter, sure, but the national narrative is Trae Young killed us in game one. That wasn't it. They hit 23s, and if you just cut that down to a normal level.
Yep, I got you.
That's the key to this whole
thing. All right,
series.
Gary, it's good analysis. Give me who's cocky.
The guy I had was Conor McGregor.
Oh, for sure. Good answer. I can't stand the guy, but Gary, good phone call. One other thing on Trey. It's not just when we say Trey killed the Sixers game one. And I get the caller's point. Hey, Atlanta made a lot of shots and they're not always going to, and their threes is a big part of it. But it's that Trey Young was breaking down off the dribble, the guy that was defending him, normally Danny Green, and creating those open threes for those guys that happened to make them. So, just to point out, it was a combination of the open shots, the made shots, but also the open shots because Trae Young created that. 215-592-9494. AMA, up ahead next. You ask, we answer. Also, up ahead, back for the first time in a couple of months, and it's going to be here for the next large stretch of weeks. We give you the opportunity to win $1,000 at the start of the 12 o'clock hour, at the start of the 1 o'clock hour. Every single day on our show for the next bunch of weeks, your chance to win $1,000 at 12, your chance to win $1,000 at 1. We jump to that, plus AMA, and more phone calls next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
No one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Parks Sportsbook app, my sportsbook app of choice. Sign up now, bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and more, and they have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. The Parks Sportsbook app is the only sportsbook based right here in the Delaware Valley, and they have it all, live in-game betting, parlays, props, teasers, and more. Bet on individual player performances in pro hoops, hockey, and baseball like points, rebounds, goals, and strikeouts. And new customers only, sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code JRWIP. And check out Pro Baseball tonight. Philadelphia is favored in their second game hosting Atlanta. The over-under is 9 runs. That's parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code JRWIP. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. And get home field advantage with Parks Casino Sportsbook.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.